This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Thank you so much, Victor. I was afraid now, Guten, I'm not getting hold of you, man. Are you doing great?
Yeah, I'm good, 100%. I'm blessed up.
How is the weather in Nigeria, man?
It's sunny. Lagos, where I live, is sunny. It's a sunny day.
Yeah, it is cloudy this side, man, and very cold.
Whoa. I would love a cold weather right now.
No worries. I'm going to invite you now to come to South Africa someday, man. And hopefully we're going to be able to, you know, pay for a flight to South Africa.
It'll be nice.
Yeah, how much is the flight, man, to South Africa, if you know?
To be honest, I don't have an idea. Probably I'll check later, but for now I can't say.
All right, no problem, man. Today on the Informative Wednesday, we are joined by you, Victor Eze, all the way from Lagos in Nigeria. We're speaking about everything or all things Nigeria on the show, on Ihlanganani Midday Show. Victor, today we're speaking about the cultures, different cultures in Nigeria. Can you take us through maybe different cultures in Nigeria?
Yeah, we have various cultures. We have, like I said some time ago, we have different tribes.
Yeah.
You know, different tribes come with different culture. You have the Yoruba culture, you have the Igbo culture, you have the Hausa culture. You know, mainly most of this culture or those different cultures, they have things that makes them distinct or things that makes them different. You have a certain tribe that like eating certain type of food, that like dressing in a certain way, that like conversing in a certain way. Like for the Yoruba culture, they like what is called, there's a cloth called agbada.
Yeah.
The cloth is called agbada. That agbada is like, how would I describe it now? Like, it's basically their unique wear, traditional wear. When you see that particular tribe wear that type of cloth, you just know that, okay, this person is from a certain tribe.
Yeah.
And you also have a cloth called Isiagu. Isiagu is a cloth mainly worn by the Igbos.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's
mainly worn by the Igbos. Then you have the kaftan. When you see people putting on the kaftan, it's mainly worn by the Hausas from the northern part of Nigeria.
Yeah.
So the various culture, this different culture, also affect our sense of dressing, affect how we get married, how we...
Okay, I think we have lost to Victor, but I think he's going to be back in... okay, Victor, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. So, you know, so basically, you know, so this various culture...
Yeah.
Or these different cultures in Nigeria affect even how we raise our children, affect how we communicate with our children. So, like I said, the... Types.
Yeah.
The way we dress is based on where you're coming.
Yes.
Lagos and work here, I see a lot of people wearing agbada, and mostly, and then there's also something about the Yoruba people, as in most weekends is used for celebrations. You see lots of parties, although it's every culture and all that. But the Yoruba, when it comes to dressing good, looking good, going to parties, having a good time, you need to leave it for the Yoruba culture.
Yeah.
They are so amazing at that.
Okay.
Different, right? So that is a bit I could say about our different culture.
Oh, all right. So now you are an Igbo man, an Igbo descendant man.
Yeah.
Briefly describe now the Igbo people and their origin.
Okay, for the Igbo people, they are from the eastern part of Nigeria. And the Igbo people, when it comes to resilience, nothing can touch them. You know, in 1967, there was a civil war between the Nigerian government and the government of Biafra, which is mainly the Igbo people. 1967 to 1970. So during the war, lots of Igbo people were killed. Lots of people were displaced. But regardless of what the Nigerian government did to the Igbo people at that point in time, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Victor.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
So because of what the government did to the Igbo people from the eastern part of Nigeria at that point in time, regardless of what happened, the Igbo people were able to recover, like make something beautiful out of their lives.
At yeah.
The 1970. So talking about the Igbo culture and the Igbo people, which is my tribe, in terms of business, we are number one. Not like I'm trying to brag. You could call other people you have in Nigeria and ask them when it comes to commerce, who are the leading people? It is the Igbo tribe.
Wow.
Anything commerce, importation, exportation, leave it for an Igbo man. You can't touch them. You can't touch us. Huh. And for that commercial aspect of Nigeria, saying that the Igbos, they are the leading tribe in terms of that, I can't say that based on we went to university because we graduated, we went to school. It's not because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hustling is in our blood.
Mm.
Entrepreneurship is in every Igbo man, whether I like it or not. So I would say it's a God-given gift.
Yeah.
And then talking about that, I would also want to talk about how a typical Igbo man learns his business, starts his trade, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So every young Igbo man, like at times after secondary school, you know, people, some parents, they will tell you they don't have money to send you to the university. And then most times, for you being a young man, if your parents can't send you to the university, most times what they do often is basically ask you to go and learn a trade.
Yeah.
And when you're going to learn a trade, there's somebody you're going to serve, someone like your master that you're going to learn a trade from. Let's assume that you could serve the person or work under the person, let me say, for 4, 5, 6 years, depending on the contract your father and that person signs.
Yeah.
So for a couple of years, you're going to be an apprentice to that person for a couple of years.
Mm.
So after the years, the person you've worked under, you've served, we give you a certain amount of money to go and start your own business. And we call it in Igbo.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You're still there, Victor. I think we are having connection problems with Victor.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's a network problem.
Yeah.
Can you hear me
yeah.
now?
Yeah, I can hear now.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better.
So after a certain years of serving your master or serving your boss, if it's 5 years, if it's 6 years, if it's 7 years, then after that certain number of years that was signed between your father and your master, then goes free to go and start up your own business with a certain amount of money that is going to be given to you by your boss.
Yeah.
So space of between, let me say, from the first year to the fifth year or the sixth year of serving your master, there are a lot of things you're going to learn. How to order for goods, how to manage your business, how to get customers, how to manage money, right?
Yeah.
So these are things that you learned from your master while you were serving him. So majority of the business people that are Igbo, you see in Nigeria, all across the world, they didn't learn it from the university. You don't learn it from the university.
Mm.
You don't learn it from school.
Yeah.
You learn it through working with someone that has been in the business for many years, for decades of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
True, man. Yeah.
And there's also something I would like to talk about that is that when it comes to entrepreneurship, for a typical Igbo man, what we believe is we don't believe in making too much gain in selling a product per se. For us, what we look at is the volume of the product we're selling, the number of products we sell. Let's assume that somebody that is from a different tribe is selling his product for 50,000 or 1,000 or 2,000, and he wants to make a profit of 500 or 200 or something. A typical Igbo man that is smart in business would rather sell it for 2,000 and make a profit of, let's say, 200 or 100 or 50 naira, something like that. The man is going to make a little profit, but he's going to sell more volume of the product that he's selling. And the more volume he or she sells, the more profit he makes.
Wow. Wonderful.
The Igbo man also, so there's also something that is about the Igbo tribe. Somebody might not have a shop, a store that where he sells his own goods. This person will stand close to the road, like, let me say, a shopping mall, and be waiting for customers to come and buy from a shop. Once this person sees that you need something to buy, this person will take you to a shop to buy what you want to buy. Later, the owner of the shop will give him a percentage of the profit that was made from you that bought from the shop.
Hey.
Do you get that?
Yeah, I got that, man, Victor.
Did you get the knowledge, or do you want me to take it again?
No. I can tell, man, from your voice, the way you speak about the Igbo culture, the Igbo people, you are proud of being an Igbo man, man.
Yeah. I'm very proud. I'm very proud. I'm 100%. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
For being an Igbo person, but at the same time, every tribe have what makes them unique.
Yeah,
what makes their culture unique and special. But for me, if I'm being honest with you, everybody knows this, that when it comes to business, there's this something, I can't call it, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like it is ingrained in us. Like it is inside of us for coming from that tribe. Personally, I wasn't born and raised there. Like, I didn't grow up in the East. I was born and raised in the South.
Yeah.
But I could assure you that I was part of my mom's business for many years. I did my business with my mom when she was selling food, like selling food like a restaurant. I cooked food with my mom in that restaurant. I made food with her. I sold to customers when I was far younger than this. So the point I'm making is that wherever you find an Igbo man, 90% of those people, they make something out of nothing. I can assure you on that.
Nice, man.
When it comes to business.
Can you elaborate now on the significance of family and community in an Igbo society?
Yes. That is a very important question. For the Igbo man, a typical Igbo man, you know, if I'm being honest with you, you know, a lot of people might not want to hear this. A typical Igbo man prefers a male child to a female child.
Victor, are you still there? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I think we're having network issues today.
I can't explain. So I said a typical traditional Igbo man prefers a male child to a female child.
Okay, elaborate on that, Victor. I'm lost.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, the main reason why a typical traditional Igbo man prefers a male child to a female child, because a male child carries the name of the father. There's this belief that when a woman gets married, she drops her father's name and starts bearing her husband's name, right? So a typical Igbo man doesn't want his name to die.
Yeah.
So at times there are people and most times these things happen with people that are not educated, that didn't go to school. They'll tell you that if you like, give birth to 10 female children, give birth to 20 female children. If you've not given birth to a male child, they are not happy.
Yeah, ne. Yeah, I think
that
happens to any nation, man, because right here in South Africa, we do believe that when you are giving birth to a male child, the family lineage carries on.
Yes. You're right.
3 yeses from Victor today. We're speaking about the culture of Nigeria. Victor Eze is all the way from Lagos in Nigeria, telling us more about the Igbo people. Now, speaking of the culture, the Igbo religion and beliefs are quite unique, Victor. Briefly explain now some of the traditional religious practices and beliefs of the Igbo people.
When it comes to religion, practice of the Igbo, there's outside Christianity, you know, a lot of people believe in their traditional God, like serving their own traditional God.
Yeah.
Like, how will I put it? Like, outside Christianity and Islam and the rest of them, like there's something that is called chi. Chi in Igbo is God.
Yeah.
So everybody have their own oracle, their own personal oracle or deity that they serve. So it is also seen outside the Igbo tribe. Every other tribe also has something like that.
Yeah.
So they are traditional men. So they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Christianity. They don't believe in Islam. Right?
Yeah.
These people, they just believe that I may not be able to dissect the various traditional deities
aspect,
that is served by the Igbos, right?
Yeah.
But I could tell you that outside Christianity and Islam, you know, they are traditional worshippers in Nigeria. Right? So basically, you know, that is the little I can say about that. I'm sorry I cannot really dissect or really go deep into that.
No problem. Now, before I let you go, Victor, every culture or every race has its like festivities, you understand? The important celebrations, the cultural importance, festivals, ceremonies and whatnot. So the Igbo people have a rich history of festivals and also ceremonies. Maybe can you give us a few, maybe some important celebrations and their cultural importance?
Yeah, you have the New Yam Festival. The New Yam Festival.
Okay.
You have the Ofala Festival. The New Yam Festival is a festival, is a traditional festival though, where every farmer, after the planting season, they have planted their yams and like everything is grown. Now they are bringing it to thank the gods for a successful planting and harvesting season. There you see the king, you see people coming together celebrate the New Yam Festival.
Yeah.
So it's very popular in the eastern part of Nigeria, basically the Igbo culture. Then you have the Ofala Festival.
Yeah.
This festival is quite different from the New Yam Festival, but if I'm being honest with you right now, I've not really digged deep into that.
Yeah.
Then we have other festivals that are unique to the Igbo culture. So these two festivals are some of the major ones that I know that is widely celebrated by every Igbo man.
Yeah. Ah, that is true, Victor. Speaking of the New Yam Festival, I think right here in South Africa, we do have the people from Emanguza in the border gate to Mozambique and Zimbabwe. They have what we call Amarula Festival. So basically what they do, they take all their harvest, you understand, and then they go to the chief, the ruler of the place, and then they'll be like, you know, celebrating, ululating, just singing and dancing to say thank you, God, for the harvest, man. Victor, thank you so much, man, for honoring your invite here to telling more about the Igbo people. And let's talk about the marriage before I go. Just 1 minute about the marriages of the Igbo people. How do they pay like lobola?
I think that is dowry. Am I correct?
Right? Yes.
Yes. We do same. Traditional wedding, although a lot of people, after doing their traditional wedding, they also want to do white. But a typical Igbo wedding is you going for a formal introduction, going to see your potential wife's in-law, your potential in-law. You go there to knock and then meet your wife's parents or your fiancé's parents and do a formal introduction of the person or meeting your potential in-law, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, there is something called a marriage list. There is a list that your in-laws are going to give you based on the custom and tradition of that particular region that you are going to get married.
Yeah.
So those things on the list, they are the things that you are going to buy. right?
Yeah.
Then after that, after the formal introduction, then you collect the list, you meet the list demand, then you pay the bride price. There's something that it calls bride price. I think you call it lobola. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you pay your wife's bride price, then do a formal traditional wedding, like a formal ceremony of marrying the lady. Mm. So those are the steps traditionally. But these days, you know, a lot of people, especially, I feel like it's what women want.
Yeah,
they want not just the traditional wedding. They also want something like the white wedding. But I feel like for me, I don't really rate the white wedding, though, if I'm being honest. The traditional wedding is the original wedding of the Africans, right? So everything concerning white wedding, I feel like, is a Western culture that is imported. Because for the white wedding is their own traditional wedding. But in Africa, we do the white wedding, the traditional wedding, like we spend too much.
Which is a waste of time and a waste of money, man.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, because the Westerners, they don't do what we do. But we do ours, we also do theirs. And I feel like it doesn't make sense. But the original wedding, the typical Igbo traditional wedding, or wedding, when you pay your wife's bride price, you have gotten married to the woman. That is the lobola, or I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, we call it lobola.
Yeah, makes sense.
Victor.
So the moment you do that and meet the least demand that your in-laws have given you, you've married her legally.
Okay. There's no signing off the marriage certificate.
No, you don't need that.
Oh.
We don't sign a marriage certificate.
Nice.
You don't need that. But I don't know, these days it could come up. But the moment you pay your wife bride price, and each family or both families stands as witness
yeah,
to that wedding. So you don't sign it, but I don't know, maybe later, let me say coming future, or let me say later in the future, something like that could come up. But when I got married, married last year,
yeah,
there was no traditional wedding certificate, stuff like that. I just paid my wife bride price. I got the wedding list,
met
the list demand, paid my wife's bride price, and did the traditional wedding and all that. Mm. They didn't give me a certificate.
Nice, man. Nice, Victor. Thank you so much, Victor, for your time, man. And thank you so much for teaching us. It was informative indeed, man. Have a great one.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.